On today's episode of Higher Learning, I'm joined by Jen Harold, SVP of HR with New Day USA. Jen is a longtime executive in the HR space who most recently worked at Office Depot before taking on her new role and has tons of insights about finding purpose in your work, what she would give her younger self advice, and why she's so mission-driven in her new role. She had so many great insights and things to share. I cannot wait for you to listen to this episode. Welcome to another episode of Higher Learning. I am your host, Oz Rashid, and today we are joined by a very special guest, a longtime friend and executive of mine, Jen Harold. She's the newly named SVP of HR at New Day USA. Jen, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Oz. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. I'm so glad to have you here. I've known you for many, many years. You have been a confidant, and I've followed your career, and we're going to get into some of the details, but you just started a new role, so I want to start there. You recently came on as SVP at New Day USA, just starting to learn about this company myself. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what drew you to the company and why it's such an exciting time for you professionally?
Sure. So just joined the company last month, and in the search for my next role, and we'll talk more about that, I was very interested in joining an organization that served a purpose that was aligned with my own professional goals as well as personal goals and aspirations. Also, a company that's very mission-led. I personally volunteer a lot. I personally want to get back to my community and wanted to make sure that as I was achieving so much in my career, that I was finding happiness through those achievements. And for me, one of the ways you do that is you answer your why and you make sure that you're reprioritizing your why. And that can change over the years as it has for me. So when I came across New Day, it fell into my lap. It was an opportunity that someone reached out to me about. Didn't even know about the company myself over 2 months ago, and spent a number of hours over several different meetings with the executive team here, the CEO, and became very intrigued with not only the products that they offer to the market, specifically though, very intrigued with the customers, the customer base that they serve, which is the veterans community. That's very near and dear to my heart. Both of my parents are veterans, as are a number of my family members. And that just struck me as so interesting. Specifically, they provide financial products and specifically mortgage products and loans to the veterans community. And a statistic that a lot of people may not necessarily know is oftentimes officers, of course, have no issue getting a mortgage or getting loans, et cetera. It's usually the enlisted veterans that are the ones that are struggling financially. Most of our customers are the enlisted veterans. And so over 90% of our customers are the ones that might be rejected from other larger banks or other institutions. And New Day serves that customer base. They use a lot of, it's been around for over 20 years, so that was news to me. But they use a lot of analytics, a lot of data to identify customers that are still going to be successful. And it really helps them not only to purchase a home, but then it helps them in their financial means through other things as well. So glad to be here. It's a new journey for me. I'm 3.5-4 weeks in, still learning a lot. As part of my role as SVP of HR, I am not only over all of human resources, but also head up communications internally and partner with our external communications and PR firms. And then I play a significant role in partnering through the work we do in the foundation. And so that in and of itself and the philanthropic efforts there and the role that I get to play is enough for me. And then it's pretty fun that I get to do the HR stuff that I've been doing for over 20 years.
Well, I am super pumped for you. Listen, we talk a lot about work that has purpose, work that you wake up in the morning and you feel good about what you're doing. There's obviously a lot of ties in your family that leads to this decision. And, you know, listen, we're going to look back a little bit because you spent a lot of time at a company I know very well at Office Depot. But it feels like, you know, you got to a point of reflection, maybe it had run its course. And this is something very different, very new, very exciting, very fresh. And I could just sense the passion coming out of you. So I'm so pumped for you. I do want to take a look back, though, because we would spend 14 years at a company like Office Depot. And, you know, Office Depot has always been one of the shining lights down here in South Florida in terms of one of the biggest organizations to work for. I'm interested on how you joined the company and then how it evolved, because I know in my time in supporting it as a client, there was acquisition with OfficeMax that was huge, right? There was obviously talk about Staples for a long time. There was a changeover at the top at the chief executive officer level. There's been a lot of change, and you'd imagine that over the course of 10, 15 years, that would be the case. But I'm just interested how the company you joined evolved to the company that eventually you left most recently last year, and kind of how you were able to kind of stay with those changes.
Really great question. It's a journey for sure. I joined Office Depot in a recruiting role in 2009, almost 15 years ago. So I was with the company for 14 years. I started as a recruiter, and shortly after the merger with OfficeMax, which took place over the course of about 2012 to 2013, I took on a TA leadership role. Later, you know, took on opportunities to lead talent management, learning and development. In the summer of 2019, so just before the pandemic, I then took on a leadership role over the HR business partnership teams for a number of different client groups. And I mean, really, that's where I spent the last 4 years of my career. I was leading those HR teams. And ultimately, you know, as I was kind of wrapping up year 13, year 14, I don't think I really knew it at the time. But in retrospect, I was sort of going through the motions. Yes, there was a lot of change. Yes, there was constantly something new and different. And at the same time, I think professionally, I really needed a recharge, needed something new and different. And on a personal level, I also was going through a number of different changes. I have teenage children, one going off to college. I have aging parents that are also navigating a number of new and different things. And as that professional, that wife, that mother, the friend, all the different hats that we wear, I realized that there was an opportunity for me to take a step back. Difficult decision. And at the same time, absolutely the best decision I've made in my entire life. When I left the company, I left with, you know, really knowing that I had a good team in place that were able to step into bigger and different roles. And I also left with a lot of friendships and professional relationships that I still carry with me today. And then took roughly 6 months, I guess, 6 or 7 months to continue to reflect and not have that commitment and that distraction of needing to be showing up professionally every day and really just focus on myself, my family, and some of those other priorities, and began to look ahead. And that's what led me to New Day.
I love that. And one of the things, I want you to put a pin in that because I want to come back and I want to talk about that time off and what you kind of gained during that. But I imagine there's a lot of people listening to this who either voluntarily or involuntarily are at some point where maybe they're having a professional inflection point. Maybe they've been doing something for a long amount of time and maybe they're starting to feel like, you know, what more is there? Am I really passionate about what am I doing? Am I going through the motions like you had mentioned? So I know that's going to be really good for people to hear and listen, somebody else who went through that and how they handled it and came out on the other side in a really good spot. But I want to ask you this because I think one of the things that's most interesting is that I've obviously known quite a bit of executives throughout my time over at Office Depot. There was a lot of change. There was a good amount of turnover during that time. But I think there's a real skill to being able to be adapt to new leaderships, to integrations, to different changes and things like that. And look, you rose your way up to coming in from a recruiting role, which is one of the lower level HR roles you can start at, right? And moving your way all the way up to the top of the food chain when it comes to people and people operations. So I'm just interested, what advice would you give to people that your companies are dealing with change? There's all these different things going on. We've got AI now, we've got acquisitions, we've got all different types of things happening. What are your kind of principles in terms of staying in an organization, even as it goes through change? How do you provide value, continue to be an asset for an organization like that with so much change?
Wow, that's a really great question. And I think early on in my career, I wish that I had identified mentors that could ask me those same questions 15 and 20 years ago. It took a little while as I was going through my career to identify and recognize how important a mentor, someone different than your leader, someone different from even a peer to your leadership team. And frankly, the mentor doesn't even need to be in your organization. So number one, the advice I would give to someone is, you know, identify a mentor that can really help you navigate and make those career choices and career decisions. And I think equally as important.
Can I interject real quick there? I don't want to stop you, but there's something I want to say here because I think that is such a key reason why people are engaged in their work. I know that if I look back throughout my career and I look at the times where I did my best work and I was most engaged, it's when I had a mentor or when I had a sponsor in the organization that was helping me see things I didn't see. Now, what can be difficult, especially for some people listening to this, is, well, how do I get a mentor, right? How do you go up and ask somebody, will you be my mentor? That's not how it works. And I actually heard some really great advice recently that I think is good. If you can talk specifically about the problem that you're going through right now, right? And go to somebody that could potentially be that mentor, but ask them, do you know anybody that could help me? You know, let's give an example. I'm a new manager and I'm having to fundamentally change the culture and dynamic of my team. And the old manager was, you know, beloved, but they left for another opportunity. And so I'm kind of up against it. Do you know anybody that's been through that circumstance that can help me? And maybe you're going to somebody that has that experience and they can say, well, I'd love to help you with that. Or maybe they open up a door and say, you know what? My friend Joni actually recently went through that and had great success. I should introduce you to them. I think that a lot of people struggle with this idea of I need somebody to give me that mentorship and I don't know how about go about asking for it or getting it. That can be a good way to kind of identify somebody who's been through the problems that you're going through and get maybe a recommendation, or maybe it's that person right in front of you who can give you that idea. What do you think about that?
Agreed, 100%. I think whether you even ask your current manager or boss those same questions, ask other leaders in the organization, perhaps even your organization, whether it's a formal mentor program or, you know, through Office Depot at my time there, it wasn't a formal mentor program in that framework, but rather we did offer mentor programs through our DEI initiatives. And so through our different associate resource groups, there were identified mentor and mentee relationships. Some of those were one-to-one, some of those were one-to-many. And those different styles are going to work with different individuals as well, based on what your needs are and what you're looking for. I think what it links to is, for me, that second piece of advice that I would give people, you've got to be willing to literally seize every opportunity, whether you're given the opportunity or whether, frankly, you have the courage to go out and ask for the opportunity. You've got to seize it. You've got to be willing to grow and learn and try something new and different. If you stay in the box, then most of the time leadership is going to keep you in the box. You're going to get a little box painted around you if you choose to stay inside your lane. You know, do it with courage, do it with respect and dignity and, you know, and all of those other things. But I think building your confidence, building capabilities through trying something new and different is so critical. And a lot of times having the support of a mentor, a great leader, and others around you is usually those two things hand in hand have usually worked well for me, both individually. And then as I've been leading teams and individuals, really encouraging individuals to just be curious, ask questions, you know, be willing to try something new and different, and just step outside of the box, outside of your comfort zone.
I mean, I think that's fantastic advice. What I, you know, this is somewhat of a controversial take, but I'm just going to say what my experience was and what worked for me. I said yes to pretty much everything early on in my career, especially before I was married and more established and had kids and I had to start thinking about things. But I was, anything that the company was, when I was lucky to be at a company that was willing to give me things at a young age and run with it because they needed the help. But I would say yes to everything. Can you take notes in this meeting? Yep, I'll be there. Can you do this? Yep. I wanted to develop a reputation as somebody that got things done no matter what we brought. Hey, Oz, we're thinking about where to get lunch catered to. You know what? I know somebody at the place down the road. Let me give you. I wanted people to know, not put me in that box. It's funny that you said that because I wanted to be outside the box at all times. I wanted people just to say, you know what? Who can I rely on in this tough scenario right now? I'm going to call Oz. He knows the right thing, or he knows the right people to get things done. And so I said yes to almost everything at the beginning of my career, only to allow myself to say no later on in my career, which becomes a very important thing as you become an executive and as you're more experienced, that you can't say yes to everything. You have to know where to draw a line. And so I agree with you. Seizing the opportunity, especially as new things come in and new people come in and you're building a new impression with acquisitions, new leadership, whatever it may be, you want to build a reputation as soon as possible as somebody that people can go to and is going to be yes and is going to be willing to do things and take on new challenges. I think that is fantastic advice. So I'm interested, was there a tipping point? Because you said you got to a point, right, where you got your kids, right, getting ready to go to college, you got your parents getting older, you've got work going. Like, was this something that was, like, over time you were, like, just starting to get more and more convinced that this was the right path? Or was there, like, an inflection moment where it's like, oh, man, I've lost my bearings on this and I need to get them back? Like, help me understand.
Yeah, I wish that it was Absolutely one or the other. In retrospect, certainly. So as I've taken these last several months to really reflect on the why, was there a specific inflection point? No. I think there was a series of events, a series of lost opportunities on a personal level and family level. You make choices. I mean, you only have 100% to give. Mathematically, you really only have 100% to give. We hear a lot of people say, you got to give more than 100%. There's 24 hours in a day. I don't know how to put more time into the day. And you divide up your time and you make choices, whether you know that you're making the choice or not, you're making choices by where you give your time. And last summer, I had the opportunity to travel with my daughter. She's 13. She was 12 at the time. And we spent 2 weeks together abroad with other girls and adults. And there were many opportunities on that trip where I found myself on the phone looking at the apps for work, and she would catch me and stop me. And I did my best on that trip than I've ever done away with family or away from work. But I remember, and again, it's more of retrospect. It wasn't in the moment. I remember sitting there kind of asking my own self, why am I that committed and I'm losing out on this amazing opportunity? Probably never again spend 2 weeks in a row like that with just her and I. And so that was in June, and I do realize now that the months that followed, I was very conscientious of my time and my choices. And if I'm going to work hard, and I always have, work hard, play hard, and that's the kind of company I want to be with as well. But if I'm going to work hard, then back to what I shared earlier, it darn well better be for a really good purpose and a really good mission and something that I can get behind. Not that, with 14 years at a company, so many experiences, really formative in terms of professional experiences. As you called out, I started as a recruiter and ended up as a VP in HR and, really created so many opportunities for myself and my family. At the same time, if I'm going to work that hard, then I want to make sure that it's rewarding not only, personally, financially, and professionally, but for my family. And so I, took that step back and really decided that I wanted to be deliberate. What that looked like and what that meant was I spent about 3 months with a coach. I reached out to a personal coach, not a professional coach, a personal coach, and really spent some time reflecting, journaling, tons of journaling. And that helped lead me to define the type of company I wanted to work for, the type of organization I wanted to align myself with, and redefine my why, find my professional purpose again. For some it might sound hokey, I guess, but it worked for me. I think, I just got to a point in my career working for over 20 years and knowing I want to work for another 10 to 15 years before I finish my career, I needed to learn about myself again. So I did, and here I am.
Yeah, I mean, listen, 14 years with a company, it's like fit, purpose. People find purpose in different things. I'm excited for you that you found a company that really aligns with, your family, the things you care about. You get to have probably more of an impact comparatively in case of the because of the size of the company. And there's people who are at Depot and feel that purpose and feel good about it too. Limitless paper in a paperless world. Who knows? You got this opportunity in front of you, and it just makes every day and going to work much easier and much more purposeful and probably more engaged. I'm super happy for you. And I think that people have to reflect, and sometimes that can change over time. Like maybe where you were, right, for a good amount of time, it felt purposeful, it made sense. But maybe, like many things, it comes to a point where it's, you know what I came to, what I bought into, what I've been here doing, I'm not feeling that same anymore. And now it's up to me to kind of identify that. And I actually think that's one of the most important thing that anybody can do is understand your why. Like you took time to reflect, and it sounds like you had executive coaching. It looks like you did many things to kind of get to that point, and then go out and identify what it is and go chase that. I'm so excited for you in that perspective because I think this is gonna be amazing for you. What did you learn about yourself in that time off though? Is there anything like, obviously your why, your purpose, got all that, but like anything else you learned about, like you reflected back on, I wish I would have done these things differently, or oh, this as a mother, or this as a daughter, like help me understand how you kind of reconciled all these things when you had that 6 month off, because you had time to think, you had time to do the things that you want to do. I'm interested in what you pursued and where you spent that time in that headspace.
Yeah, I think there are a couple of things. One that is so critically important, I think, especially when you're at the point in your career as I am now, boundaries and how important they are. Not just setting them, but keeping them, honoring those commitments that you're making to yourself and to others. And what boundaries are, what they look like, how to form them, how to communicate them, setting expectation, really. And I've been really great at setting expectations for everyone else, and I was missing out on myself. And so I think really just setting those boundaries, keeping the boundary lines and setting those expectations. And that's with family, that's with myself, that's with friends. Professionally, they sort of have always worked. You make them work, but I was really missing out on some of those other pieces. But I think, deeper than that, what did I, maybe learn about myself or, even just the kids, the family. So the time that I took to step away, the timing of it all really allowed me to spend more time than I generally do with my kids, being home, being available. My son, who's the one going off to college, would start to reach out to me more or ask me more questions, knowing that I was the available parent, that, he wasn't really bothering either one of us because my husband works as well. Being able to go on trips with him. So I was able to do one of his college visits with him. And we spent, whether he liked it or not, 6 hours in a car together and a little bit of music, a lot of forced conversation. But I think in hindsight, even he really enjoyed that time together. A lot of the time that I spent with my daughter last summer, we were able to repeat and spend more time together. So being able to just learn that that time, while it was precious and there was a lot more of it in the last 6 months, it's the quality that really matters of the time that you spend, especially with the kids and building and keeping those relationships. I was also able to travel and visit family, my dad specifically, and being able to do that without figuring out, okay, how do I balance work? How do I balance all these other things? That was just one less variable that I didn't really have to think about.
Yeah, let me drop in there because you said something earlier that, listen, you got to make choices. And like I see some of these like influencers on LinkedIn or on these different places, and they tend to be women. You can have it all. You can have it all, right? And there's men too that talk like that, and that is just not true. You can't have it all,
Yeah.
right? Like, listen, you got to make choices. Like you said, I want to be great at work. I want to be a great father. I want to be a great husband. I want to be a great friend. I don't know how I'm doing in all of those areas, but I'm trying my damnedest to be the greatest I can be. But you know what that probably precludes me from doing? Being a scratch golfer. Maybe having a six-pack. Maybe going and visiting every baseball park in the United States, right? So you gotta make choices at the end of the day. We make time for what's important. Have you thought about, now that you're back at work, how you're gonna calibrate that and balance that? Because that variable's back now. So how are you planning on integrating all of those things together?
That is key. And that I think links back to the boundaries piece. And the I'm, when I think about all of the things that I've achieved professionally, and then really assessing, like honestly assessing, did those things make me happy? Was I satisfied with those achievements? Or did I just, check it off and move on to the next big thing or the next opportunity or the next initiative that needed to get done? And I think for many years, I did connect the two. I was able to link my personal satisfaction, my happiness to the things I was achieving, both professionally and personally. And over the last couple of years, somehow, I think they just became disconnected. And they are two very different variables. They're not naturally just inherently linked together, I don't believe anyway. And you can achieve all the things in the world, but if the purpose and the why and all of those things aren't connected, then it's not really creating happiness. And so for me, just making sure that the time investment that I make into any one of those things is giving me some kind of return. I'm really great at looking at the ROI of business matter, not so great at looking at the ROI of a personal matter. And some advice that I got from my former leader, who so much advice has been given from her to me and others over the years, but one in particular that I still to this day don't forget, I just have to continue to live it every day, is you can be a leader, you can be a coworker, a mom, a friend, all of those things that you and I have mentioned already, You can't be great at all of them at the same time. And you have to choose on that day or in that moment, which one am I going to be great at? And then which one am I going to go and ask for help? Maybe I need to bring in my husband and we balance out that calendar. I used to try to do it all in my past. And even in these last 6 or 8 months, we calibrated that calendar. It's not as though he became uninvolved or less involved because I had 100% of my time available. We really used it as an opportunity to figure out how do we integrate life and work and family together in a better way that's more meaningful, especially knowing that we're reaching a stage in our lives when the kids only have a few more years when they're kids at home. They're going to start their own lives. And then we'll just be looking at each other going, what are we supposed to do? So.
Love that. Listen, I could talk to you about this stuff all day. The reality, though, is you're making me feel guilty because my wife did ask me to come home early to babysit my son while she went and ran an errand. So we got to dive into the hiring stuff now. I got to get to you. I got to ask you some hiring questions. And I got to be honest with you, I love talking to people that grew up in recruiting and know that world because you just take a different angle to it, a different lens to it. So I'm interested, whether it be hiring for your new organization or hiring for your team, what's a core hiring philosophy of yours that you espouse to?
That's an easy one. This has been something that I've lived by for years. So it's two primary things. My philosophy is embedded in identify talent that has the expertise and the skills and the knowledge, all of that criteria, and do the best that you can in an interview process, utilizing more than just your own perspective. Try to also calibrate on the behavioral components, some of the attributes that you think that will lead to their future success in the organization as well. And at the same time, that individual, the top individual, may not be the best fit for the team. And so the other piece to my philosophy on hiring is I need to make sure that as I bring talent in, the synergy on the team and what they bring to that team culturally, behaviorally, in terms of just bringing together a cohesive unit of talent is just as important as just bringing in a bunch of individual smart people. They can't work together as a team unit, then it's just not going to work. I failed early on in a couple of hiring decisions and recognized that I had a bunch of really high-performing talent, but I couldn't figure out how to make their skill sets work in a dynamic fashion together. So that's been my philosophy, I'd say, for at least 10, 12 years now.
It's a brilliant observation on your part. You can't have a team of 12 LeBron James. Like, you've got to have players that play their role, that fit together cohesively like a team, that know their roles, that understand that, are proud of that, feel value in that. And I agree with you. I've seen people make the mistake of just trying to pluck as many unicorns or A players as they can. And what happens is you're not thinking about the team context. And you might be thinking, well, we'll throw them all together and we'll see what happens. That can be an explosive Molotov cocktail. I've seen it personally. You're always thinking about building a team and what best fits into what I'm trying to do. The highest caliber talent possible, but also that's going to fit what we're trying to do as a collective. So I think that's a great point by you. What about a memorable interview experience? I got to imagine you have at least a couple, maybe that you were interviewing, or maybe somebody that you were interviewing in terms of coming into the company. What comes to mind when I ask you that?
So the first thing that comes to mind is over 20 years ago. It's that memorable.
Let's go.
So,
Name names. I'm here for it. I'm kidding.
So this was very early in my career. In fact, I was attending graduate school, so it's a long time ago, and helping out a friend at the staffing agency where she worked, didn't even really know what the concept of staffing agencies were at the time. And needed to help them out. It was, I think, 2 to 3 weeks. By the way, that turned into a 2.5 year, mark on my resume and led me to recruiting and away from the career that I was pursuing, education. So anyhow, they kind of stuck me in to help with some interviewing one day. I was just following along interview questions, and I remember the young man that I was interviewing. And halfway through, he asked, "Am I going to have to take a drug test?" And
In the
I
middle of the interview?
thought, yeah, during the interview, he
Oh,
asked
boy.
me, "Am I going to
Way to
have
be subtle, brother.
to take a drug test?" And, and me, I'm going like, "Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yes. Here I am out loud, sort of the monologue, but out loud. Yes, I believe that's a
Is that going to be a
requirement for
problem?
this role." But I didn't know how to navigate these conversations. I mean, let alone hadn't really done a lot of interviewing. It didn't really, again, I was just trying to help them out. There was a huge influx of volume. They had signed on a large customer, which I won't name, but a large industrial manufacturing customer. They were trying to hire literally hundreds in a very short span of time. And long story short, anyhow, he went on to explain to me about how many poppy seed muffins and poppy seed dressing that he had eaten in the past whatever period of time, which my naive self was like, okay, but what does that have to do with your question around drug testing, et cetera? I mean, I finally stepped out and had to ask for help. And, we've moved through the interview, we moved through the process, we moved through the drug testing, and I'll let, the audience determine if they think that this young man was placed on the assignment or not. But
Opiates? Was this Edgar Allan Poe? Like, who was interviewing? My God. Crazy.
it was an
I gotta give
interesting
you credit for letting him go through the rest of the process. That might be a deal breaker for me in the middle of the interview. I mean, wow.
At the time, I really didn't know a whole lot better. So that is one that just, I mean, I always laugh when I think about it. And it's more just my own learning, just I, again, tying it back to, I said yes to everything back then too. And sure, I can help you out. Yes, I think I can figure this out. And I stumbled a lot through figuring these kinds of things out. And now, in my recent career, now designing drug testing policies and, making different accommodations based on different regulations that come through and everything else. So it's full circle, I guess, on that topic in that regard. That's one memorable moment I think of my own that I can recall a very, I'd say about 15, right before Office Depot, so maybe 16 so years ago, interviewed with a company. My only experience of having to do this where I had a phone interview, and before I interviewed with anyone in person, they brought me in to do a series of tests, math evaluation, reading evaluation, a writing evaluation. It was a couple hours long of evaluations for an entry level, like recruiting HR job. Came back in for one interview after that, but it just felt like such a arduous process, a lot of gathering of data and information and such. I just kind of had a bad taste in my mouth through the whole process of just, okay, now we need to do this. Now we need to do this. There wasn't that cohesive like experience of here's the full process, here's the experience, here's why we do all of these evaluations. Just remember kind of being, okay, here's what's next. Here's what's next.
Going through a
And
manufacturing line, it must feel like, right? Like you're just a number or
exactly.
another
Yeah,
person in the
definitely
line
did.
of dun dun dun. That's not a good
It
experience.
definitely did. And that certainly influenced for me the kind of experience I like to create and I like for my teams to create for candidates. Everything right down to if we have them here for, a full panel of back-to-back interviews, they better have water. They better have a scheduled break. There better be a meal if it's in the middle of a day, turn one of those interviews into a lunch, that sort of thing. So I've been heavily influenced by my own experiences and kind of forming my own expectations for how I would treat a candidate, how I'd want my team to treat a candidate. So yeah, those would be the two that come to
You're
mind.
stealing the questions right out from under me because I wanted to better understand what you do from a candidate experience perspective. So I love that. Being aware and having empathy of what they might be going through in the process, water, breaks, food. What else do you do to create a great candidate experience? Is there anything else?
I mean, generally, I also like to even just start with, how's your day? How's it going? Or if I'm in the middle, if I'm interviewing and I'm maybe second or third, like, how's it going so far? How are we doing? Because I think what's lost on a lot of hiring leaders and in HR, it's our responsibility, I think, to remind hiring leaders, you realize that candidate is interviewing us, or at least they should be, as much as we're interviewing them. And we also need to make sure that our stories are consistent, that the experience they have, the culture that they're experiencing, just everything from start to finish should be something that they desire to be a part of. They are going to be investing a lot of their time, should they get the opportunity to join us, to the company. And so we want to make sure that we're giving them that opportunity. So I do like to ask a candidate, how's it going? Another question that I often like to ask, especially at the beginning of interviews, it's something along the lines of, what do you know about the role? What do you know about the hiring leader? What do you know about the company? What's happening here right now? And part of that, yes, is did they prepare? Or is this just another interview that they have going on? So certainly I'm checking for that. I'm also just checking for what has our team or the hiring leader team shared so far about the opportunity and where are the gaps? Have we missed an opportunity to share a critical piece about the company, the role, et cetera? And if so, then I like to take that chance to help them better understand what may be a gap for them in terms of the knowledge they have.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because I used to, when I was recruiting myself and I had my own candidates, and I think I was probably, maniacal about interview prep. Like, I'd be down to like, this person's favorite color is red and they went to this school and here's how they ask questions, right? Because I wanted to try to help make people feel prepared. And then when I would go, a lot of times I would walk them into an interview, because we used to do that back in the day in 2007, 2008. And I would go and they would be expecting me to be like checking in on the prep and did you do this and all that. And the first thing I would do is like, so what are you doing this weekend? What's going on? How are you feeling, right? And I would do this immediately because I feel like an interview is naturally kind of a tense situation or something that you least prepared for. You're a little bit nervous. You're like presenting. You're showing up. And so I would want to like completely decompress any type of like intensity of the moment and take them out of it for a little bit and hopefully make them laugh or smile going in so they feel best in their natural self. And so sometimes we miss those humane connections, a lot like that, the manufacturing line you were bringing up. I find that a lot of people don't look at it from the point of view. They're looking as I have to get a job done and I want to put everybody through the standard process and kind of run them through. And you're not thinking about it from the candidate perspective. And to your point, they're interviewing you as much as you're interviewing them. So I think that's great. I think there's a lot of amazing tips on candidate experience there that you just laid out for us. What about a favorite question? Do you have a favorite question that you like to ask in interviews?
Usually along the lines, especially coming from Office Depot and our teams, as well as the business teams that I supported, a topic that I always like to cover is the candidate's experience with either leading change or being part of a big change. And that can be anything from describe a time when you led a significant change initiative, or it could even be something as simple as tell me about a time when you implemented a process change across your immediate team. So whatever that scale is for that particular level of candidate or type of candidate, I like to get after how they lead change, how they engage or identify and engage the stakeholders, their communication approach, their follow-through, how much did they take initiative versus perhaps were they kind of part of a change, and how did they respond and react and become a cheerleader or a change agent to that change? That one's always been really big for me. And then I usually dig into things like creativity and innovation and problem solving. Sort of those are the natural kind of tangents and go-tos for me.
Super brilliant, because I find that one of the biggest unlocks in interviewing is we're not in a world anymore where people work somewhere for 50 years and then get the golden watch on the way out the door. We are in dealing in a market and a professional environment where change is not just constant, it's inevitable, right? And it's happening at all times. Acquisition, turnover in leadership, Wall Street reports, there's just tons of different things that are happening. And you might hire one person because of how they interviewed for the job and the company and the leadership as the way it was and felt great about it. But if they are unable to deal with change or give examples about a change they were a part of and how they handled that, I think you're going to have a problem when there's any type of, diversion or obstacle that comes up that's not kind of standard operating procedure. So I think that is super smart and real good call by you. If I asked you to name the best hire you've ever made in your career, does anybody come to mind? All
Yes,
right, describe it to me.
100%.
You don't have to name names, but just describe what
Yeah,
happened.
100%. This individual I hired during the pandemic. So, first of all, sight unseen, right? So, you're interviewing, everything's virtual. And this experience coming from Office Depot being very much an on-site type of culture and not very, not at least not to any extent, hybrid or remote. And so during the pandemic, found myself in a position to need to hire. And this individual not only had that combination of the specific skills that I was looking for, the experiences that really mapped to some of the opportunities I knew we were going to have. I couldn't share a lot about some of the initiatives that we were going to have coming up because they were confidential at the time. So that in and of itself was hard for the recruiter. It was hard for me to be able to speak to those things. But then going back to what I shared earlier, not only did this individual have that experience and the knowledge that I was able to uncover, and even some of the skills. I try to hire people that are smarter than me. If that's one thing, if I've learned anything from my father, if you're the smartest person at the table, get up, go to a different table because you got to learn all the time. And you've got to surround yourself with smart people. And so, in this regard, There were a few areas of my team where there were gaps, and I couldn't even fill the gaps. I needed that skill set. But not only did this individual have those skills, they also plugged in so well, culturally, behaviorally, just going back to that synergy for the team, the vibe that they brought to the team. There was a level of calming and calmness that we very much needed at that time. Emotions were high, and we were doing a lot of things that none of us had really ever solved in terms of some of the problems and the questions that were being asked. And I needed someone who was going to be able to come in and just bring a sense of calm and a sense of it's going to be okay. Even I need that reminder. And so anyhow, when we brought this individual on, they started in one defined role. And I think the way I redefined that role, without changing title or level, probably five or six times on this individual in the first 18 months without a blink of an eye. I mean, just, yep, what do you need me to do? Yes, what do you need me to do? And the feedback that they constantly asked for and incorporated and received, not only from me, but from peers and from other leaders. And then ultimately, this was an individual who, individual contributor level type of role who we put in front of our CEO for regular updates on a pretty high level and highly visible initiative. And I had no qualms about it, no hesitations whatsoever. And I have a high bar for those kinds of things. And ultimately, this individual is someone that other leaders, when other leaders want your talent, you've hired good. And so other leaders would seek this individual out. I've had other great team people on my team that I've been able to develop and move up into different roles or over into different teams, but pretty proud of this one, just given the circumstances. And he also was promoted at least once while he was on my team.
So this is somebody in recruiting.
More on the HR operations, kind of HR side. So not a business partner, not recruiting. My role in the last 2 years at Office Depot is pretty expansive in terms of I had recruiting and talent acquisition. I had some HR operations. I also had HR business partner teams for multiple business areas. And then I just had some other kind of ancillary types of things in my bucket.
If you're going to say recruiter, I was going to have to do some reconnaissance and then kind of figure out who this person might be. Who knows? This person sounds like a rock star. I love it. I appreciate. I'm kidding. I'm joking. I appreciate you sharing that. That is awesome. I love that you saw it early in the process. And then I always ask this, but like, if it was the best hire you've ever made, they've always exceeded the highest expectations you had in the interview. You know, but you never know until they're doing it, and then you're like, oh man, this is just like far and away exceeding even my highest level of expectations. I love that. It's a great feeling, and I'm happy that you've experienced that. I know there's many more of that to come as you go forward. Let's talk about this. I want to ask about the new company. What are you most excited about that you're working on in New Day? What is like an initiative or something that maybe they brought you in specifically to do this, or is it maybe just kind of still kind of getting a feel for things? Like what are you excited about right now? What's getting you up in the morning and getting you pumped about your new role?
So a couple of things. One of the reasons that this role was so appealing to me, the body of work, as most of us might see or understand as HR, has been led by a number of different leaders internally, executive level leaders internally. So HR has reported up to operations leadership. It's also most recently reported up to the chief administrative officer, and portions of the HR work, comp and bens, et cetera, have also reported up through to the CFO. And over the last couple of years, the CEO and the board and the leadership team have really recognized the need and the opportunity to formalize a senior level HR role to lead the HR team and bring everything together under one leader and one umbrella, so to speak. This is an opportunity where I'm not coming in behind another HR leader to try to figure out what were they doing that worked and what do I need to put my own stamp on, but rather an opportunity where they have big asks around talent and performance. So identifying and bringing in key talent and top talent for certain roles, and then overall for the company, identifying a framework around performance management to implement and carry forward, apart from, or not apart from, really, I think in addition to what they're already doing today. Those two elements of HR are near and dear to me. I love anything and everything to do with talent development, and optimizing organizational outcomes and business outcomes through making sure you've got talent positioned well, and that you're constantly thinking about your successors. And this is an organization that does hire a significant portion of their hires do come straight out of college. They invest a ton in training. A lot of finances into the training. And then they do promote very quick, early and often. There is a very specific career pathing opportunity for two large areas of the organization. And now the opportunity to come in and build that out across the total organization with a framework and that HR knowledge, I think, is going to be key. And then another area that I'm excited about that will be big here over the next 6 to 9 months is sort of overlaps. It's the work around our foundation and partnering from a communication standpoint here in the local West Palm area, as well as where we partner, for instance, in Georgia and in Maryland, where we have other locations or partnerships from a foundation standpoint, partnering with those entities to continue to build upon what we already do. And so recently, the New Day partnered with Georgia Military College, and we have a ribbon cutting ceremony coming up later this year on the Center for Leadership. And so we'll have a speaker series with keynote speakers and other events taking place there. And it's also a building that's on the grounds of Georgia Military College that can be utilized by the local community and for other types of events. So, just really getting involved in helping to build out further the vision and the purpose and the kind of long-term opportunities for essentially growing the future leaders of our country, not only from a military side, but on the civilian side, within communities, et cetera. I think, if I can spend the last 10 years of my career doing work like that, I'll know I've done a good job.
That is amazing. I love that. Fantastic. And happy for you. All right, last question. If you had to offer, and you've already given tons of nuggets of advice and wisdom, but I'm going to ask you to distill it here. If you could give your 20-year-old self any advice that you didn't know then, but that you know now, what would you say?
That's a really great question. So, my 20-year-old self, probably a little apart from what we've covered, life isn't that serious. Like, at the end of
Okay, expound.
the day, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, like, don't grow up so fast. For me, I couldn't graduate from college fast enough. I couldn't start my career fast enough. My husband, I'm glad my husband and I met in college and got married and started our family early. But there were so many things that I was just on to the next, on to the next, on to the next, and fast. And through it all, everything was so serious, so important. And now, especially these last 6 months, as I reflect back, man, I wish I didn't take life so seriously sometimes, and wish that I had allowed my 20-year-old self throughout my 20s to just experience life more and know that I have the next 30, 40 years to work and to grow up from a professional standpoint. I wish that I had done more volunteering and philanthropic work early on. I didn't find that until my children are young. So those are kind of the big pieces. What I mean by, don't take yourself so seriously, don't take life so seriously. There are some very real, serious, big events that happen, and they happen, in many cases for all of us. And we're only given but so much time, but we don't know how much time we have. And so make the most of it, really, especially when you're young.
I think that's fantastic advice. I'm somebody that doesn't prescribe to the idea that ambition and fulfillment are mutually exclusive. I think it's very important to be in the moment and be appreciative and grateful for where you are today, as of today. But you can keep looking forward too and wanting to grow on that and build on that. And I've said this before, but just my fulfillment and my ambition coexist because who I am today is not good enough next week. As long as I'm growing and I'm learning, then I can stop and smell the roses and be happy with what I've achieved or accomplished or gotten done to this point, but still be looking forward. And so I think it's really great advice because I don't want to like look back one day and be like, man, I didn't have time with my kids. I was pursuing this goal and I wasn't a good husband. I wasn't a good friend. I think You can't have all of those things. You just got to make sure that, like you said, make the right time, right decisions on the right days at the right times to what you want to be in that moment and make sure you get some balance there. But I totally agree with you. Don't be so focused on the chase, because then you'll turn around and look back and be like, man, I wasted a bunch of time, or I didn't give enough credit to the things that I was going through and be in that moment. And that can be a real shame. Jen, I'm really appreciative that you came on. Thanks so much. Long time coming. It's a new day for you and your career. I'm just so grateful you came on. I'm appreciative of it. Looking forward to staying in contact, and congrats on the new role.
Thank you so much. I really, truly appreciate the opportunity.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
Take care.